Okay, thank you.
Hello?
Hello, sir, if you hold one moment, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis will be chairing your hearing at this time, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Campbell, we'll begin shortly, but can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Hold on, I have my microphone off. Is it better now, or is there a distortion?
There's a little distortion, but I can hear you.
Hold on, is it better if I just, I'm kind of experimenting here. I'm turning the microphone off. Is it clear with the microphone off?
Yes, it's still kind of like a beer can sound, you know, in the background back there, but I can hear you.
Okay, I'm going to try one more time. This is with the microphone.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, we'll try this. Not to co-mingle here, but with our last hearing, there seemed to have been some problems understanding some of the board members through the microphone. So I just want to make sure that you have a clear communication with the board. Just give me 1 second, sir. Okay, sir, can you state your full name?
Robert Lee Campbell.
And your ADC number?
043831.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412B parole hearing to consider parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting a hearing with you today. You cannot see us because this is a telephonic hearing. Pardon me. But on the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing.
Okay.
I'll begin the hearing with a summary. Mr. Albert Campbell is 56 years old. He was certified eligible by DOC for 31412B parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. He's currently serving 14 years of imprisonment for sexual assault, part and partial of a 6-count consecutive prison sentence, including multiple charges of burglary, theft, and sexual assault. The instant offense occurred on or about the date of March 16, 1981. Should be noted that said sexual assault occurred in Maricopa County Jail, where Mr. Campbell was pending disposition on a probation violation, burglary, and aggravated assault. He was approximately 19 years old at the time of the sexual assault. He was convicted by jury trial on September 2nd, 1981, and sentenced on November 6, 1981. Mr. Campbell has a criminal history dating back to 1978. According to an August 2017 correction by ADC time computation, he's been parole eligible since April 18, 2015, with his last consecutive count of sexual assault with a 14-year prison sentence pending. According to Ames, he has a final SED, and again, this is according to Ames, a final SED of November 23rd, pardon me, I see SED, sentence end date of November 23rd, 2026. Does that sound correct so far, Mr. Campbell?
I don't know, so I'm just basically dismissing it right now because I don't really know when the end date is.
Oh, okay. Out of respect, I'm reading from the Ames record. If you have time computation questions, I will ask you to follow up with your CO3 after this hearing, okay, sir?
That's fine.
Thank you, sir. I will now read a short summary of the offense in question.
I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't now?
No, because you can't hear me now.
I guess there is some sort of connection issue.
I think we're just going to have to hold it up to your mouth, sir. I think that's going to be the best way.
Sir, if I hold the microphone closer, does that help?
Yes.
Okay, let's try that.
Just cut me in and out again.
Boy, I will say again with some understanding of your situation, we don't understand why some of the microphones on your telephone are having connection issues. It doesn't seem to be happening with our board chairman.
Okay.
But I'll give a short summary of the events in question. It says on March 16, 1981, at approximately 2 o'clock a.m. and 6 p.m., Gregory Puckett, the victim, was beaten into submission and was forced to commit several sexual acts with Mr. Campbell and three accomplices while in the Maricopa County Jail. And I will not get into the the graphic details of the case. We can certainly talk about that if it's necessary further in the hearing. Mr. Campbell has completed considerable programming in ADC, including his GED and treatment as a sex offender. He has a release plan that includes living with his sister and brother-in-law, strong family support, and money saved from his work in the correction system. He has an extensive history of discipline in ADC from 1982 to 2016, that is 4 full pages, with his last major on May 20th, 2016 for disorderly conduct. This is his 10th hearing before the board. He has no letters of support in his parole packet. And I will stop right now and say, are there any supporters for Mr. Campbell in the room at this moment? Just to make sure. Okay, Mr. Campbell, we have new board members since your last parole hearing. Someone seems to be March 1st, 2008. Can you understand me? Mr. Campbell?
Yeah, I can't hear you because you cut me in and out.
Let me try this. Mr. Campbell, can you hear me if I speak louder through the other phone?
Yes, I can.
Okay. We have new board members since your last parole hearing on March 1st, 2008.
Yes.
This is an opportunity for the board to get to know you.
Okay.
Can you please tell us in your own words about the crimes that led to your incarceration?
I was convicted, I believe, in 1981, I believe. Of the crime of sexual assault of one of the cellmates in Maricopa County Jail. And I'm currently still under appeal right now of that same case. I have reservations on my guilt in this case right here, but I continue to fight my case through my lawyer, and if the appeal is heard, which is under review right now, then I'll return all my rights to remain silent in that matter right there.
Well, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I absolutely respect that, and as the panel chairman, it's certainly not the first time that I've said in a hearing that if someone feels that they're wrongly accused, I certainly encourage them to pursue retrial, appeal, whatever you have the right to.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is a parole hearing. This is not a trial. We're not here to bring new charges. We're here to consider a 412B parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. But we certainly respect any ongoing appeal or legal action at this point.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll talk a little bit about your institutional history. It looks like that, again, I mentioned that you've had some programming to include sex offender treatment. And if I'm not mistaken, You secured your GED inside DOC, is that correct, sir?
That is correct.
Well, we commend you for that. Again, you have a release plan that includes residing with your sister and brother-in-law. It sounds like it states in your, I'm sorry, can you hear me?
I can't hear you. You can hear me now.
Sir, can you hear me if I speak louder?
Yes, I can.
Okay. According to your institution progress report, you claim to own a house, is that correct?
That is correct.
And that you've saved money since you've been inside the correction system?
Say that again one more time, please.
That you've been able to save money?
Yeah, I have a plan with my sister because she missed the house from me. So money has been set aside for that.
According to Ames, if you can hear me, you have your last major was in May of 2016 for disorderly conduct?
Yes.
What happened in that case, sir?
It was just more of a miscommunication between me and the officer. I know I should have done better myself in addressing him, even though, you know, we all had words for one another that wasn't very pleasant. But I could have handled it a little bit better. It started out as a minor, but they made it a major, and I was guilty of losing my cool in that situation.
Thank you, sir. You've been inside DOC since 1981, so how have you changed, or how have you matured, or how have you developed as a person since your incarceration?
Well, I found myself in my stay here that I can't continue to blame my situation on everyone else without making changes for myself first and foremost. So in my journey, in my later years, as of the last 15 years, that I found myself, you know, developing communication with myself and understanding who I right now. And I now understand that I don't need gang members around me. I don't need anyone around me. I need to first focus on myself to better my life first before I do anything else for anyone else. My journey, if you look at my disciplinary record from 10 to 15 years ago, my ticket has, at one point I was what I could consider as a baby kid. And a baby kid is someone that has no respect for anyone and disregard for everything. As my journey has developed, my ticket has went down, and I no longer find myself have to be out there and doing things and saying things and trying to prove things to everyone else. The only thing I have to prove is what I do for myself. And that's why I've been volunteering here lately for all the programs, the sex offender program. They said I couldn't do that because I had too much time, but I still volunteered to do that. As far as my GED, I did, me and the guys had a common name, Albert Campbell. And I did a GED for him. I passed that test, but I had to go read back and take that test again. So I did went back and did that again. I did some CAC, custodial maintenance from Central Arizona College. I've done that. So I've just been more or less trying to focus on myself and my behavior and let that speak for itself.
Thank you, sir. At this point, I'm going to ask fellow board members if they have any questions for you, Mr. Campbell.
Okay.
Fellow board members.
I can't hear anything.
Okay, no, I was asking my fellow board members if they had any questions for you. We have no further questions.
Okay.
From fellow board members. So we're getting close to the end of your hearing.
Okay.
Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat yourself. And again, I also recognize that you stated that you have some sort of pending action inside the criminal justice system. So, but is there anything else you would like to share?
I think I sent the statement what I need to state, and I have some other things I would like to speak about, but I would just retain those for I can figure out a way to do this, what I need to do.
Thank you, sir. The board is going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you, especially because you're on the telephone.
Okay.
But it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we make our individual votes.
Okay.
And come to a decision. So if you'll just remain on the phone.
Yes, I can.
And if you can stay quiet, we will come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I will again say that I respect that Mr. Campbell is pursuing further action through the criminal justice system, some sort of legal action, whether it's an appeal or some sort of motion for a retrial. And I absolutely respect that. There are certain things he did not want to share with the board, and that's understandable. Again, this is a parole hearing to consider parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. And I guess I will say in general terms that due to the serious nature of this crime, I believe the release of Mr. Campbell into society would create an undue risk to public safety. I am not comfortable in as much that I recognize he's been in the correction system for quite some time, but there was a steady escalation of crime, if not more violent crime, leading up to his conviction. And I don't feel that we can safely return him to the community at this stage of his development. I will say I do commend him for his programming, for having a release plan, but he has some bad conduct, if you will, inside the corrections all the way up to 2016. That is his last major for disorderly conduct. But that's where I'd like to begin the discussion. I am certainly open to the collective wisdom of my colleagues. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Quinones, I'm trying to understand, and I'm confused by what looks to me like a discrepancy between them. There's a letter from Herb Haley, dated August 17th, suggesting, and my question is, why is this a 412B? Because according to Ames, he's on his last sentence.
Yes.
This letter kind of implies that he's on count five.
Thank you. I think the way I read it, and again, I was trying to capture that in my summary in the beginning. out of fairness, is that he's scheduled for a parole hearing pursuant to 412B, moving from the concurrent count 5 to the consecutive count 6.
But yet on the Ames.
Yes, I think this is a correction from his Ames, and that should he be passed to the next consecutive sentence, it looks like that he would be passed to count 5, from 6 to 5. But that is a question.
But 5 is expired here.
Well, that's what they have in Ames, but according to the correction letter,
yeah,
we still do one more prison sentence. And I think that if you look at the total time leading to his sentence end date, it's kind of consistent with him having 10 more years, and again, I'm rounding, but 10 more years leading up to the sentence end date in
2026.
Pardon me. Leading up to 2026. So yes, I had the same concern when I wrote the summary.
Okay,
but
thank you.
Anyways, thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse.
And I agree. I think it's commendable that he's done the amount of programming that he has. The one kind of thing that's still in my mind is he says that he has strong family support in his release plan, the progress report, and yet we don't have any letters of support from family, and there's no one here. So, I mean, I understand it's a 412B, so maybe that's the reason, but it just seems like a kind of a discrepancy there to me, and I'm agreeing with your analysis of the situation.
Thank you, Ms. Brighouse. Would you like me to pass to the next board member?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I wasn't sure if you had more to share. I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, sorry.
Okay. Any other input from fellow board members?
Well, I agree with you, Mr. Chairman. I think when you look at the totality of this, the offense itself or the offenses themselves, as well as we can't dismiss what has happened in the past, as well as the long list of disciplines, tickets that he's received over the years, and as you stated, the most recent one being just a short time ago, I feel that at this particular time, it would not be appropriate to move him to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Neal? Thank you. Before I make my motion, I will say that I recognize that the offense in question happened in 1981, and I believe that does not make him eligible for a set-off, so I just want to say that up front.
That's correct, sir.
And so I will go ahead and make my motion, and that is, my motion is to deny parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. And my reasons are as follow, and I will restate the motion just for the sake of clarity. And that is a serious and violent offense, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury, violation of probation. I believe that that dates back to his earlier case. History of assaultive behavior, prior criminal history, repeat offender, poor institutional behavior in as much that he had an infraction in 2016. Recent disciplinary infraction in 2016, history of assaultive behavior, and I will ask for the guidance of my colleagues on the family and community support system. I recognize that he stated he has the support of his brother and sister-in-law, but I don't see any documentation beyond what's in the institutional plan.
Mr. Chairman, the only reason I would not include it is because it's not appropriate at this time because...
Oh, that's correct. I'm sorry. Yes, thank you for that correction. Certainly, it's an honest one, an honest mistake. Again, so my initial motion is to deny parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Again, my reasons are serious and violent offense, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury, violated previous probation, history of assaultive behavior, prior criminal history, repeat offender, poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infraction, history of assaultive behavior, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Campbell, did you hear our motion?
Yes, I did.
Okay, we're denying parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, and we stated our reasons. There is no offset for this hearing, meaning you'll be appearing before this board again sometime around 6 months from now. That exact date has not been set yet. This concludes our hearing. Thank you for appearing before this board, and we'd appreciate it if you'd give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, Mr. Campbell.
Mr. Crosby.